June the 22nd, 1997. We're gathered for a business meeting with the commander when he gets around to coming. In the meantime, perhaps we can clear our space and relax a minute while he comes.
I think we can make it now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Zita, you're going to have to make it, even if you don't want to. That's my baby. We'll talk about that a little bit first. I don't want anyone, please, to be offended or think we've gone into some sophisticated secret compartment that I request that you not tape. It's that as we move along, there are just some things that need to have used as discretion. I have found that copies of tapes that were not made on EJ's tape recorder, at the least, have been circulating. I believe even that some in Canada take the tapes and reproduce them. And I was a little bit astounded to find that some that were reproduced were not our original tapes. So we have to be a little bit careful with what we do. And when we are simply having a regular meeting, you're absolutely welcome, any of you, to tape. Although I think when we discuss some of the business things, we can supply tapes to anyone who needs them. For instance, if we're going to discuss something about the common law or Title 42, I believe is the number for getting at judges, and the judicial system, we would supply any tapes to anyone who is doing a case. No matter how we try to get assistance, it kind of falls on its face. So I don't know who all has been doing it, but Ray has done a superb job of putting together a case so that it can be run past David Miller at his meeting up north this weekend, or actually it'll start tomorrow, I believe. And the topic of his presentation, or this particular gathering that he is having, is pretty limited and quite sophisticated on the subject of how to amend truss. That's T-R-U-S-T-S, not S-S. We're not mending trusses, we are amending trusts. So, and I also want to talk about a bit of healing meetings. And I don't mean I'm going to stand up and be a Benny, what's his name, Benny Hinn, that does this at you and you all fall down. Although that's pretty effective in his own right. But that's not what we're about. We're going to talk a little bit about sightings in Phoenix. These are topics that are extremely general and are in the public eye right now. And perhaps we can even get a little fill-in from Dr. Young or Nori or someone who has been staying up, maybe even Ray. I think he listens to Art Bell every now and then. you're going to get some attention, believe it or not, of a positive nature. They're taking a little bit notice now of the ridicule that has gone on about myself. And now the ridicule goes like this. Maybe we ought to ask that big boy. Well, I have a lot to tell. And a lot that is already now proven. I believe that John and Claudia have seen that. Dorma's seen it on two consecutive nights. The lights that are over Phoenix that they say are flares hooked to balloons. I think it is remarkable that in the air currents and each balloon holding a little bit different amount of whatever's in it, they seem to stay exactly positioned correctly. And then I'm fascinated by the new Pentagon revelation that Roswell, well, they really lied about it. The government actually lied to the people about it and claimed it was a balloon. What it really was were dummies sent down on balloons. And the craft itself was a spy craft to spy on Russia. Now, I'm sure Mr. Yeltsin is impressed by that, almost as much as he was the cowboy boots that your president gave him to wear to dinner. And he declined. I want all of you to be very proud of what is happening in your nation as G8 now meets. I call it P8, politics, you know, political 8. And I think they served rattlesnake and buffalo and other tasty wild American dishes at dinner. And then they had gospel singers and you name it. They had it up prancing around on that stage. Half the dignitaries went to sleep. Mr. Yeltsin just simply retired. He went to bed. The president, who wouldn't know the north end of a southbound horse, decked out in his Levi's cowboy boots and blue denim shirt. Now, that's what you represent. And for 25 years, you have been known as the cowboy country. Just a bunch of hick cowboys. And I wonder if perhaps you're drifting back into that element. Be very careful. There's nothing wrong with cowboys. It's those city birds that give it a bad name. The lights themselves on the bottom of the craft are in that formation for a very good reason. The craft itself runs absolutely silently. The lights themselves are some 200 times brighter than any flare they have yet made. It's very large. So what is it doing up there? Well, let's talk about what was it doing over here. And it's still around. It can move extremely slowly to the point of hovering. It can move extremely quickly. It is totally radar negative. It's stealth. And when it was seen the second time, at least by Dorma, very quickly it was accompanied. It was moving extremely slowly in the same path as it always takes from the southeast to the northwest. And was accompanied or very shortly followed by what I would call a detail on either wing of military craft. So what's going on? Well, they're going to give you your first big show and tell, probably around Phoenix, if they can get enough focus on it. And you see, at first they tried to deny it because they have to do some practice runs. They have to do some rehearsals. They have to create this wondrous illusion of something. And then come more movies, more Spielberg, more garbage dumped on you. And so when you're hyped up and paying no attention to world affairs, while all the hype and talk is going on about wedge-shaped lights over Phoenix, what is happening? Bilderbergers met and moved directly to the G7, never mind Russia. Immediately, Bilderbergs met in Pine Isle, Georgia, little resort. And immediately when that was over, the important dignitaries shifted over to Denver for this meeting. Now you will have the basis on which your next political projections will flow. The decisions by the top bananas are going to now filter down through to be put into action. And at the end of this month, Hong Kong reverts to China, and China is working incredibly closely with Africa. The world's a powder keg ready to blow. And what are considered the Israeli enemies, or the Bush enemies, or let us call it the New World Order versus the Arab black community of Islam, are just about to square off at each other. Very, very serious. They have been in the process of meeting over Zaire, some meetings in Zaire, which now I assume you call the Congo. That has been the most major focus of intentional genocide, to example, in a very, very long time. So pay attention to what comes out of there. They are unifying Africa, especially North Africa. It'll pay you to go and look at your maps occasionally. Because if you're not very good at geography and you think, oh, well, that's over across the world is very, very tiny anymore. And Egypt is in North Africa. Libya is in North Africa. Nigeria's up there and has the sweetest crude oil upon which is based the price of oil in the world, along with Texas. Sweet crude. But you have to move on over and look at what is happening in Iran, Iraq, Jordan. Alliances are being formed. Iraq still has the second largest reserve of oil in the world today. And yet they can't sell it. But they are certainly learning what kind of manipulations can be made. Because, you see, there are only two countries still upholding and demanding and forcing it through the United Nations to embargo Iraq and kill off the children, the ones that you didn't deliberately infect. And Libya. Because why? I want to remind you why Libya's in trouble. Because they said two Libyans were the ones responsible for the Lockerbie 103 flight from several years ago. And they insist on extraditing them to the United States to be tried. Now, wouldn't that be a fair trial? Look what a good deal McVeigh got. Wowee, aren't you just really thrilled with your judicial system? Aren't you proud to watch the FBI and the BATF and that judge refuse to allow any evidence in that trial? And part of the reason they want to pull it back to Oklahoma to try him again for state crimes is because they got an issue which finally demanded that a grand jury be structured and set up to hear that evidence that they didn't present in Denver. Now, they can't afford to let Mr. McVeigh go back, can they? How long do you think it'll take them to suicide him? You know, he'll be so despondent. This war hero that now can't even be buried in the veterans' cemetery. How long do you think it'll take him to get around to committing suicide? Will he wait until before or after they condemn Nichols to death to bury the truth? Well, these are serious things. And Mr. Gaddafi said, "No way, Jose. You will not get these men. They are nationals, and they are my countrymen. And until you can set up a fair trial in a third nation, I will protect them." And look what they've done. Look at the badgering they have done. And they've refused to let Libya sell oil. Big honking deal. Libya has a treaty now with Africa to sell all its oil. They don't sell it. They just give it to Africa. And Africa can now sell it. And they're going to do it through the organization called something like Organization of African States. Well, all the light bulbs go on, don't they? What about these organizations? What have we learned? What have we learned in this last little while we have been trying to live and trying to negotiate and trying to work out something? Well, we've learned you've got to have a benevolent, humanitarian organization of such a label that another organization claiming humanitarian motives can do business one with another. Ah. Well, why don't we just consider some of these corporate structures like the United States sets up in Mr. Bush for the use of his super fund and the use of a pool where you can launder money, get it in there, and send it out on business ventures. Well, don't we wish we had known about this particular plan long ago? We would have known exactly where to go to get these things we want done funded. The Inter-American Investment Corporation. How about the Deposit Trust Corporation? It's right there in the name, in the title. You've got one that has member states and the most amazing set of articles and bylaws. We printed them for you. Read them again. It says in there, anyone on this board or anyone participating in this corporation is above the law. Beyond the law, I believe, might be their term. You cannot sue them? Now, how many of you went to look to check this out? Uh-huh. When are you going to start thinking? We checked it out. Would you care to know that these with corporation in their title or not? They're not corporations. And they have set their own articles of incorporation and their own bylaws to set them above and beyond the law of any land and above the Constitution of the majority, what would be in corporate terms stockholder, which of course is the United States. Only they're not incorporated anywhere in the world. They don't even have a trademark validation on their name. Anyone want to know who now has the Inter-American Investment Corporation? I'll give you two. While the citizens sleep, the rats have been at work. Now, we know what the Inter-American Investment Corporation is. That is where many nations come in and for, what is it, $10,000 a share, or they have it broken down to where you put cash in. And it's big enough that you can launder a lot of drug money. But it takes the Inter-American group. But guess what? You have some other players like Israel in your Inter-American corporation, non-existent corporation. But what is a deposit trust corporation? Well, that's the one that'll get every one of you and swallow up your trusts. And these are things that are put on the television, and maybe for 2 days, and then wham, you know, sift it down, shut it up, and nobody thinks any more about it. It is an organization whereby if you invest a lot in the market, or if you set up a trust within the given list of banks, offshore, onshore, doesn't matter, it's a lot easier offshore. You invest vest your trust. And guess what? Through the Deposit Trust Corporation, they give your account a corporate name. It's a code name, they say. And they can talk for 4 days and tell you why that is such a secure measure. It is the most secure measure you will ever find in any financial market in this entire world. It secures it for them to the point you can't even find out where your money went. It is their security program. You come in, they give you a corporate name of their choosing. That is your code. And all they've got to do then is just absorb it into the bank. And they're doing it across this globe. So somebody better find out about trusts and be very careful if you like your money or you want a retirement program. Worse than that, if you've tucked too much away, you get a bill from the IRS on the money they take, and there's nothing you can do about it. They won't give you the code, but they'll tell you how much you put in there, and they'll start billing you. And your salesman will come and tell you, oh, no, this is a quiet, silent trust, and nobody can break it. They don't break the trust. They take it. It's a very simple explanation. Now let us consider this great big embargo. Oh, my goodness gracious. With Iraq. We have insiders there to the level of the Minister of Finance. Pure intentional genocide. Children are being born deformed. The world comes out and says, oh, well, but they can have medicine and food stuffs, etc., etc., etc. We just don't let them sell oil. Millions and millions of dollars have been gathered up from mostly the free world to send in medical supplies. But guess what? The Israeli lobby stops the product flow. They seize everything of medicinal or food headed for Iraq. They sidetrack and take. Nice world you've got. Now, why would we be so irritated, Mr. Bush and Mr. Hussein? I mean, they started out with joint bank accounts in BCCI. $250 million apiece personally. And a whole chain of routings through your agricultural department. Now, isn't that interesting? I guess since agricultural products like coca plants and marijuana plants count as an agricultural product, because I've never been able to understand how else you could utilize, launder this money, and through the Department of Agriculture buy arms and send them both to Iran and Iraq. Remember the Iranian arms deals and hostages? How did they get to be at such cross odds, Saddam and Georgie? Well, Georgie's bunch was completely over their heads in the savings and loan debacle. There are hundreds of thousands of mortgages, properties taken. And so guess what? Somehow they worked a deal to store these over in Iraq. And some there on the border into Kuwait. Now, I hope that some of you will be able to think back far enough to remember that Mr. Hussein was smart enough to put some of your people into this building. And, oh, your media came unglued about these people. Would you go ahead and bomb that building? Well, why do you think that, was it Schwarzkopf and Powell, who ended the war and headed for Baghdad, and they'll still come on and say, we should have gone all the way into Baghdad. You know why they didn't go into Baghdad? Because and don't try to blame this sweet little innocent woman, ambassador over there. When it was decided that Saddam would start trouble, he was to start trouble, and he was to march right on through and into Kuwait, and he was to blow away the buildings, including the basement that held all of those mortgage documents. That was his order. Get in there and blow them away. These are the same types of documents that Flight 800 was 2 hours delayed while they brought all of these cartons of documents to be forever blown away and into the sea. And they pulled that one off, didn't they? Well, they didn't pull off the Iraqi deal. Sodom looked at things, and now the Thatcherites were involved in all of these things taking place, and they were freezing right and left the American bank accounts, all over the world. Your allies started freezing Iraqi assets. Libyan assets got frozen. You think you're banking safe anywhere? Come on. You get crosswise with them, they just take it. So, okay. That's fine, Saddam. You go right on in there and you make sure all evidence is completely destroyed. And he agreed to do it. Only that's not what he did. He went in there and loaded up the whole kit and caboodle and took it back to Baghdad and parked it in the building where he put a few little hostages of the American variety. Oh, Mr. Bush, you said this will never do. We'll get you, sir. Well, he hadn't yet. He hasn't yet. And yet now ones out of the European community have also figured a way whereby they can deal with the Ministry of Iraq on medicines and food products. And it doesn't go through the Israeli circuit. And certainly letters of credit law matters. We had a gentleman by the name of Glenn come down, and a few met with him. The important thing, even backing it anymore. And come on, when Mr. Scowcroft and Kissinger say enough's enough, somebody's going to start listening. If it's hurting their business, somebody's going to start listening. And Mr. Kissinger's already got his hands full with problems over in China. And you have to remember, Mr. Kissinger is a hands-holding partner with David Rockefeller of Chase Manhattan. And it's alive and well and shifting assets continually. So as ones wake up and say, oh-ho, if we have a humanitarian organization and someone or something to back this, we can get the payback after the war is over. And ones will say, well, that won't ever be over, won't it? How long were you at odds with Russia? And you can't kissy-kissy enough now. It will be over. And it's destined to be over relatively soon. So there are all sorts of things in this mad and wonderful world that need attention, need attending, and can be functional. So it's important that you pay attention behind the scenes, beyond the cowboy boots. What are they doing? What are they doing? And now Rick is going to be interviewing someone who claims he has some further or more current updating on the connections between Bush and Clinton, and payoffs and shipments and things received by Clinton. I personally don't think it's any different than anything we have already offered.
but it still gives opportunity for your paper to have that kind of information written in it. Because every issue that you have is totally, thoroughly under a magnifying glass, completely reviewed, and reports written on what you've done, and those are accounted every Wednesday morning. And the suckers, for goodness sakes, can get their distribution before you get it. It just beats anything I've ever seen. The only ones that beat it are your adversaries around here. I can't imagine. But they always have the information before that paper gets out to the subscribers. What is his name, Rick?
Chip
Tatum. A lot of interesting things yet to be revealed. Now, I want to change the subject just a little bit to talk about corporations. I don't know that I need to ask you to read that, EJ, because I'll just briefly speak of it here. I had reminded everyone that when we discussed incorporating, that someday, as we could begin to bring funding in for various and sundry projects, that we might need the allowance of storage of some funds. Because, for instance, when you are doing a commercial building the size of the dome that will house Futuronics, when you go for the money, you go for the full amount. And 10 years ago, it was $240 million. Well, now you suppose that you get someone, you're probably talking $500 million as a development program, especially by the time you include fees, plans, permits, all of these things. So you don't want to stash all your eggs into a basket. Now, can you put $500 million into gold and then pull it out as you want it? Possibly. They could have that much gold if they will allow you to purchase that much gold. And that will have to be seen. But what really I find in your private discussions and the questions always coming back is that you really don't know what you're doing with your corporations. You don't know what you are doing with your corporations. Let us assume that tomorrow we said, all right, payback time. Do you want your money personally? Do you want to leave it where it is? And we'll turn it over to an entirely different company that does nothing but house that, that is now, we'll call it the Institute, but then it will just be to house your retirement program or whatever it is you want to do. How many of you will know what to do? You don't want to take it in your name. But worse than that, nobody's going to pay you off in your name unless, of course, you put it in there in your name. So there has to be some consideration. And then I began to quiver myself and think, oh, my God, it has been so long since anybody paid any attention really to their corporation, for the most part, that they're not going to know which resolution to write. So I think we're going to have to do something about that. We're going to have some meetings, if you will. And this is a business meeting today, to talk about that very thing. Are you prepared to even succeed? It takes preparation. It takes some thought. So So we have to consider the possibility of beginning to have some smaller meetings and learn about this. And then I think that rather than asking the group in August, when Court has his fundamental seminars, where people come down from Canada and all over to attend their corporate meeting and then come on over here, that maybe we ought to have ones come here and then just bring Ron and Court over here for two or three days of heavy corporation input, and then we'll also have our party here. So I want to consider that for August, if we make it to August, see. We've got to consider other things that are happening. And I'm concerned. Grandma is not doing well. If you read the last through couple of papers that she sent over here, she's lost it. And she's doing some extremely foolish things, mostly to hit me, to fight with me. Well, you see, we don't bend, we don't vary, and greed sort of annoys us. So don't tell us about your grandiose self and how you're the only one that can possibly do anything. And then lay forth outrageous and untruthful information. We're at this moment trying to decide whether or not we should publicize the writing that she sent yesterday or not.